We're going to read tonight in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read a well-known story, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion on him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, I was killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And it would be nice if we could continue reading, and we read about him going into the house as well, but we don't. That's where the story ends. I want to just highlight something from this story. One theme, and that's patience. And I'm not going to speak about my patience, because it would probably be better to speak of the lack of. I have been actually called patient by a few people, a select few, not that many. I'm not going to speak about humanity's patience. We were just, I don't know if it was today, maybe. I think it was, yeah, today at lunchtime. We were just speaking a little bit about how people seem to be so much less patient now than they were before, years ago. What I want to speak to you tonight about is God's patience. What kind of took me down this pathway of thought is something that's taken place with me over the last, I think it goes back to probably about April, May, maybe. I got a phone call, and I'll tell you a little story. I got a phone call, and the man he began talking about, as most here know, we get into selling real estate now as well, and he called me, and that's what he wanted to talk about, was some land that he was looking for, and he had land for sale, and sounded great. And had the first conversation with him, it lasted maybe, I'm going to say 10 minutes. And I thought, this sounds really interesting. This would be a great thing to get started. We weren't into it very long at that point. And then I got another phone call, and more or less went over the same thing again. After, I don't know how many weeks it was, Ian was there on one of the occasions. It was at lunchtime. And I think in the span of, would it be 10 minutes at the most? I think it was 8 phone calls from this man. Over and over and over again. And I didn't bother answering. At that point, I waited till after, because I knew he just got on the phone and he'd rehashed the same thing over and over again. And I came to find out that he had a little bit of a drinking problem as well. And that's oftentimes when he'd call. I've spent hours on the phone with this man, and my patience was getting very weary. I tried to be friendly, and you'd listen to him. Until one day it took an interesting turn. We had gone away on a little trip, and I told him I was going away and I wouldn't be available for phone calls. So when we got back, he called again, and he remembered that we were going away, and he asked how the trip to Quebec went. And so I told him about some of the places that we went, things that we did. And one of the questions that he asked, I told him we went to, there's a big cathedral in Quebec, Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré. So we took a little tour around. So I happened to mention this to him, and he asked me if it meant anything to me, and I said, no, it didn't. I was just interested in the architecture. And then he asked, where do you go? And I told him where we went, the Gospel Hall in O'Leary. And he said to me, I took this man, I figured he was probably in his 60s, 70s maybe. And he said, oh, I used to go to the Gospel Hall in Charlottetown. So I asked him, okay, well, do you remember any of the people that used to go there? And so he mentioned some different names. He mentioned Donna and Nelson Livingston. And he mentioned Doug McLeod and Doug's brother. He knew him as well. And different ones that had gone to the, and still go, to the meeting in Charlottetown. And so this, now, every time he'd call, he'd bring this up. And we get into some spiritual conversations, and then he had asked where Doug's two boys were, Doug McLeod's two boys. So this was the perfect opportunity, I thought, that I'll get Scott on this case, Scott McLeod. So I didn't think the guy was, he got Scott's number from me. I didn't think he was going to call Scott. He ended up calling Scott within just minutes of getting off the phone. Well, Scott invited him out to gospel meeting, and Scott recruited me a couple of weeks ago. Didn't give me any choice, didn't ask. He just said, me and you were speaking. So I went to Charlottetown 2 weeks ago. I didn't think this man would even come out, and the man came out. Whenever I come up the stairs, I come over to him, figured out who he was, and he knew who I was. Now, the interesting part of it is that out of, I think I could be wrong, out of 400 to 500 real estate agents on PEI, I'm the one that he called. I had the connection with some different ones in Charlottetown that this man knew. He came out to gospel meeting, and he got to meet some of the ones that he had seen years earlier. And at the beginning of the meeting, just before it started, he came over and he opened up the little Bible he took with him. He still had it. And the date inside was 1974. 50 years ago. That was the last time that he had been out to the Gospel Hall. It was a different hall then, I think. Whenever Nelson and Donna Livingston used to come and pick him up and take him out to children's meetings. So 50 years had gone by. And one of the things that I said to him, I said, John, I don't believe for a second that it was coincidence that you picked me out of that magazine and decided to call me. I said, I hope you don't. He said, no, I don't. He said, I know that in his words, he used other words, but that God was dealing. That is what took me down this line of thought, because that is, it couldn't be more clear. Now, this man, without getting into it, lived a life of sin. Couldn't be any more clear how patient God is. To pick up from a boy who was, I think, around 10 years old, one of the last times that he was out. 50 years later now, to bring him out back to a gospel meeting so he could hear the gospel. Since then, he wasn't going out tonight, but he's asked, anytime I've talked to him, can you pray for me? We've had conversations with him. And I don't know where the story is going to end. But that's God's patience in bringing somebody under the sound of the gospel after 50 years. The man wasn't living for God either. The man wasn't pleasing God in those 50 years. The man was living a life of sin. The man had an invitation I don't know how many times in those years that he came out to children's meetings. And he understood. He actually, Tim Hyde, when he came up the stairs, Tim Hyde met him at the back. They were expecting him. When he met Tim Hyde just asked him, he said, do you remember any of the verses that you would have learned in Sunday school? And he quoted, I think it was 3. And Tim said that he never missed a word. So that man had the gospel. All of those years, whether he opened his Bible or not. And he told me, he said, before he came out to gospel meeting, he said, so many nights, he said, I go to bed and he said, I think to myself, if I died tonight, where would I be? And he said, I know that I'd be in hell. So that man had the word of God. That man was spoken to God even before he began speaking to me. And after 50 years, God, not begrudgingly, not a little bit angry, and my patience is getting kind of low, I'm going to give this man one more chance. I don't know how many more chances the man had, but you know what it was? Just like we heard, God, out of love and care, brought the man out. Even after 50 years of rejecting him, God still wanted to save that man. Back to my message, I just wanted to tell you that story. It's an encouragement for some of us. It also should be a voice to others. What is it that actually affects patience? My patience. What affects my patience? Well, one of the things would be repeated warnings. Right? Repeated rejections. Blatant disregard for things that are precious to me. That would all affect my patience. We all know what it's like whenever you have a child and you say, don't go beyond this line. They go beyond the line. You say it again, don't go beyond the line. They go beyond the line. And then finally, you probably raise your voice and you say, if you go beyond the line again, this is what's going to happen. And they know. They don't maybe know what the word patience is, but they know the idea of it, and they know that whatever Dad has for patience is getting a little bit small, and this is third time, I better stop. Let me just ask you a question tonight. You've heard the gospel, most in here, for years. You've known it for a long time. How do you know that God, for the last time, is not saying, come? Do you know that for sure tonight? Do you have another opportunity next Sunday? Or is it possible that this could be the last time whenever God is going to say, come? It's the last time God is going to give an opportunity. It's the last time God is going to have his arms open. The next time you see him, the next time you stand before him, it's not going to be with open arms. Just like we heard about the books that will be opened, that will be your interaction with him. So those are the things that affect my patience. God is so much, this is what I was appreciating today, that God is so much more than just patient. Linked very closely in my mind at least, along with patience comes the idea of mercy, right? Patience kind of brings the thought before me of a warning that God is being patient with my behavior, God is being patient with my rejection, God is being patient with me. And God is withholding what I deserve. That's what mercy is. What I deserve actually is punishment for my sin. God is being patient with me. God is withholding that. Just like Michael told us. He's holding me back from experiencing the punishment and wrath for my sin. But I am extremely thankful that God is so much more than just patient. God is so much more than one who just shows mercy. God is one tonight who not just wants to show patience and mercy, he wants to show grace, and he's showing love tonight. I was just thinking all the way from the very beginning how much God's patience was tried as he viewed creation that he had created perfect, and it wasn't very long in, and we know how the story went. Adam and Eve sinned. And what did God do? God was patient with them. God withheld wrath from them that they deserved. Is that how the story ends? No, he did far more than just withhold wrath from them. It wasn't very long after, and we read that he provided coats of skin for them, created a covering for them, gave them something. See, God tonight wants to not just take something back or away from you or protect you from punishment and wrath. He wants to give you something. Well, surely that must be the end. Is it? Adam sins. God shows tremendous patience after they had been warned. And God shows grace and love. Well, the very next generation, you know what happened? It actually got worse. You know the story of Cain and Abel and how that story ended. God showed tremendous patience towards Cain. He went to great lengths to hold judgment back from a man who rightly deserved it. It almost seems to me God went completely out of his way to display his love and grace to him. He showed it to his parents. It seems to me that he went even further to show it to a man that knew better. And he places an offering right in front of him. And Cain had to step over it. We can go right down through human history and time again. God withholds and God gives. God withholds and God gives. It couldn't be more clear with what took place at Calvary. There the Lord Jesus, remember I said, what really tests my patience is whenever somebody has blatant disregard for things that mean something to me. You know what it's like? You have property. It's been in the news lately, and we've seen instances around here where you have property, you try and protect it, you're the one that gets in trouble, and on it goes. Okay, you know how much it just makes your blood boil when somebody has blatant disregard for your property, things that mean something to you, precious to you. Just take a moment to think what it must have been for God as he could look down at that scene at Calvary with the Lord Jesus hanging there. And he would watch as one man would come up and he'd spit on him. And another would come along and they'd all join in. They'd all be ridiculing him and making fun of him. He would watch as men would take a whip his back, and they'd laugh. And he would watch the whole scene. Till finally one man come up, there was nothing else left to do, and rammed a spear into his side. What a test of God's patience as he looked down at that scene. The one who meant everything to him, the one who was precious to him, the one who pleased him. Do you know something? It wasn't just patience and mercy that was shown at Calvary. There was something else that accompanied mercy and patience. You know what it was? We already talked about it, and we're going to talk about it again. And that's love and grace. You remember one of the cries that the Lord Jesus made from the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was actually the beginning. Can I use that as the phrase? The beginning of God's grace and love. That's the way I want to picture it tonight. That was actually, after all that took place, that was actually just the beginning. God was saying to the whole of creation, now is the final display. I want everyone to know, even after all that humanity has done to my son, I want everyone to know just how much I love them, just how much grace I want to show to them. I want to provide salvation and free. I want to bring you into my home, into heaven. God's patience at Calvary. Let's bring it just a little bit closer. How about you? How many times has God shown patience with you? Say, well, I don't really know. I mean, I'm a decent person. Every time you come out to a gospel meeting, and I don't even want to bring it down to just that, there's many more opportunities. Every time you have a thought, every time a verse pops into your mind, every time you have a thought like this, I know I should be saved. Just not right now. That's you turning down an opportunity that God is giving you. That is actually God extending his hand with an invitation, saying, come. I provided everything. Come. And you saying no. And that is God exercising patience and mercy. And again, there's a lot more accompanies patience, and it's grace and love. God, even though you're turning him down and God is holding back wrath, God is still extending the invitation and his son to you. I didn't really speak much about this story at all, but there is something that I do want to mention, a couple of things from it. Something that occurred to me is that this son had an extremely godly upbringing. This son had great teaching. You say, well, we didn't read that in the story, and how do you know that? Well, the son, as he's sitting there after he had wasted everything, and this father showed tremendous patience. The father, whenever the son came to him initially and asked for his inheritance because he wanted to go and waste it, the father knew what was going to happen, and he began to exercise patience, and he gave it to him. But I know that this son had a great upbringing because he said, in his own mind, when he came to himself, when he began thinking right, he went back to all those times whenever the father told him what sin was. He went back to all the times whenever the father taught him about God, because he said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He didn't learn that in the far country. He learned that when he was with his father. He had great teaching. What I love about this story is as the son gets up and he comes home, he's walking along the road, and the father runs out to meet him. The father couldn't wait. Not to hold something back from him, but he couldn't wait to give him something. To the point, the son comes. I just noticed this tonight. The son comes, the father is standing there, he turns to his servants, and he says, go get the robe. And they went and got the robe, and they brought it to the son, and they handed it to him, and they said, here you go, now put it on. That's not how the story goes. They didn't bring the ring and say, here's the ring, put it on. Here's the shoes, put them on. Do you know what the father wanted to do for the son? He loved him that much that he said, I don't even want my son to do anything. The work is completely done. He said to the servants, bring the robe and you put it on him. Bring the ring and you put it on him. Bring shoes, put shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. The son didn't have to do a thing. The father couldn't wait. It wasn't a struggle for him. He wasn't showing patience, and inside he was just fuming. He couldn't wait to take him aside and have a chat with him about all that he had done. What he couldn't wait for was to give him everything that he had. Tonight, I know out in the world, this is the view of a lot of people. They believe that God just can't wait to punish them. And you hear all kinds of things like, if God was a God of love, how would he allow this to happen? How would he allow this hurricane to come through? How would he allow this storm to come through and take all those lives? If God really loved them, and all the while they're missing that God is showing them, God is extending an invitation. He wants to do so much more than protect them from a storm here. He wants him to protect them from the storm that's coming, the judgment for sin, and he wants to give them eternal life and a home in heaven. And that's what this father wanted to do. He wanted to just give his son everything. And he wanted him to experience a finished work. Tonight, that's what God wants for you. God is offering you something that is completely and utterly done. He's not asking you to come, and now you do this, and then you're going to do this, and then you'll be safe. You'll be saved. John chapter 19 and verse 30. The Lord Jesus, he says from the cross, "It is finished. Now you come, and I'll put it on." God wants to give you salvation. You come just like this son did, and he took the place that he knew that he should be, the sinner. He didn't get rejected. As a father was fully prepared for a dirty, filthy son who had sinned. And tonight, God is fully prepared for a dirty, filthy sinner who has sinned. That was one of the struggles with this man in Charlottetown. Is he knew that he had sinned throughout his life. And he said that's one of the things he was struggling with, was sin. And I told him, I said, that's the way that God wants you. So this son comes and he enjoys it. Now I just want to end with this. What about after God's patience? The line to me in this story where we have the father's patience and it ends is whenever the door of that house shuts. The younger son, he's inside enjoying all that the father wanted to give him. The elder son, he wouldn't go in. The father wanted to give him exactly the same thing, and he would not go in. Well, this story ends. It's kind of a sad scene. I was just trying to envision what it must be like that there's the house, probably across the field, and see the lights on, and you hear people singing, and they're happy. The door is closed, everyone inside, and if you went up to the windows, you'd look and you'd find them. They're all eating and enjoying. They're smiling, rejoicing. Just as you'll find in this story and the two examples given before, that there's rejoicing whenever a sinner comes to Christ. Outside the house, there's the elder son, and what I had in mind, there's not a whole bunch of people around. It's him, he's standing alone, off in the field. He had missed out. There came a point in time whenever the father's patience had stopped. It ended. The door closed. Those inside, they were enjoying what the father wanted to give. And those outside would never, ever taste of it. So how about you tonight? Which one are you going to be? I can tell you with confidence, just thinking back to that man in Charlottetown, God is not a God who wants you to do without. God wants to give you salvation. God wants you with him. He would never have sent his son to suffer the way that he did if he didn't want you in heaven with him. God wants John in heaven. 50 years that have gone by. Still has that little Bible, 1974. As a reminder to him, 50 years have come and gone, and God is giving me another invitation. God loves you. He wants to save you tonight. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We would just commit the meeting to thee. We just thank thee for each one listening attentively, and we would just pray for blessing here tonight. Just take each one home safely. We just would give thanks for patience of God, but we would also give thanks for so much more than that, much more accompanies it, and that's the love and grace of God. And so we just give thanks now in his name. Amen.